Please take note of our new ministry headquarters phone number, 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. We're switching our phone number because we want you to have the ability to not only leave a message, but to text us. In fact, the fastest way to get a response is to text us. Why? Because then we don't have to transcribe your message. You just simply text it to us and we can respond much quicker. Now, you can leave a voicemail at 901-825-0652. But if you want a fast response, please text us at 901-825-0652. Forgot your Situation Room membership password and can't get in? Text us your first name, your last name, the email address you signed up under. We'll look up your account, reset your password for you, send you back a text. If you have other issues, feel free to text us. But again, if you need to leave a voicemail, you can do that. Would you like to leave a tax-deductible contribution for the Worldview Weekend Foundation? You can leave a voicemail, 901-825-0652. 901-825-0652. But don't forget, you can also text us.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome, glad you're with us. All right, part two today on a very, very important program. I talked to Tom Littleton today. I think he's going to join us later in the week. Because Tom said, yeah, I don't know anybody else that's pointing out and saying what you're saying. And I presented some of the evidence yesterday, and I'm going to present a lot more of evidence today. And it's very important. And in fact, I hope that when I open the phone lines up, you will call in. And that you will tell me that you are learning a lot and appreciate this information. Even if you don't have a lot to add, just knowing that I'm explaining it correctly and that you get it and that it's important. I'd like to hear some feedback from the class. Because what I am telling you, no one else is telling you. And that is, while writing this book, Marxianity, that'll be out this fall, and researching the cultural Marxism of the Gospel Coalition, which Wikipedia at one time said was the 18th most visited Christian website in America. It influences thousands of pastors who influence tens of thousands of congregation members. Do you not think that's important? Their leaders on their council include men, as we've discussed before, Mark Dever, Al Mohler, Tabetti, David Platt, Matt Chandler. Many of these men are working with well-known Bible teachers and Bible organizations. And what I'm telling you that no one else is telling you is this. The Gospel Coalition is the emergent church repackaged. Did you let that sink in, House? I think I let that sink in for them. The Gospel Coalition is nothing more, nothing less than the emergent church repackaged, including the church growth movement of Bob Buford and Peter Drucker. Here's what I wrote yesterday. This is the description of our radio show that my editor and I worked on and put up last night. The emergent church and the evangelical church, and I'm reading this so that you will help you understand the big picture as then I go into the details and lay it out, proving to you. And you're going to understand why this is important when I read this description of yesterday's program. The emergent church and the evangelical church had a child through the Hegelian dialectic process and gave birth to the cultural Marxist Gospel Coalition. Topic. Well-known evangelicals and pastors who once opposed the emergent church philosophies and Rick Warren's church growth movement are now openly working with the Gospel Coalition, speaking with their members, and having them speak at their churches and conferences. Brannon will prove the connection between the Gospel Coalition and its founder, Tim Keller, the Emergent Church, Peter Drucker, Rick Warren, and Bob Buford. Topic. The proof that Bob Buford started the emergent church, as well as the church growth movement, also promoted by Drucker disciple Rick Warren. And we proved that. We proved yesterday that Bob Buford started, according to Brian McLaren, the emergent church. But Bob Buford did more than that. He also started the communitarian church growth movement with Peter Drucker. We'll get into that today with audio clips. Topic: the proof that Tim Keller was working directly with Bob Buford before he died and the transformational churches Buford wanted planted across the country. Topic: the proof that the key philosophies of the emergent church are embodied in the gospel coalition, including cultural Marxism. Thus, pastors once opposed to the emergent church and Buford's church growth movement have in fact been outsmarted by the synthesis of the emergent church with the neo-evangelicals and neo-Calvinists to now find themselves promoting what it is they once opposed. Tragically, this reveals that many well-known pastors are not as smart and discerning as we once thought they were. Sadly, many of America's leading evangelicals have been played and have become tools of the cultural Marxist gospel coalition and their emergent church and church growth movement agenda they once opposed. Now, that's yesterday's program at worldviewradio.com. So do you see how important this is? People that once opposed the emergent church, and we looked yesterday at what made up the emergent church, right? Social justice, social gospel, ecumenicalism, spiritual formation, you know, things like yoga, contemplative prayer, mysticism, rejection of Bible prophecy, mocking people who promote Bible prophecy. These are the characteristics of the emergent church. An unbiblical goal of building the kingdom of God on earth, an unbiblical cynicism towards conservative evangelicalism and fundamentalism, those who embrace the fundamentals of the faith. That's the hallmarks of the emergent church. Is that not the same characteristics of the gospel coalition? Yes, it is. Go spend some time on their website and you'll see what their speakers are writing, saying, and doing, what their council members, their own council members like Tim Keller, are saying and writing and doing, and you will see that the characteristics of the emergent church are embodied in the gospel coalition. And why should we be shocked when we have proven that their founder, Tim Keller, was influenced directly by Bob Buford that founded the emergent church, according to Brian McLaren with PBS, one of the leading emergent church leaders? Now, I want to play a quick audio for you. Because why this is important is it shows you, and I know these are big words, but most of you can handle it, it shows you the power of the Hegelian dialectic process. Pit opposites against each other, get them to fight, people will compromise to get along and accept a little bit of both. And so when you have the evangelical church that waged war with the emergent church and they came together to form what is now groups like the Gospel Coalition, or what Jim Belcher in his 2009 book called The Third Way. The Third Way, Beyond Emerging and Traditional. And by the way, do you know who endorsed that book besides Tim Keller, the founder of the Gospel Coalition? I also found out today when I went to the website of Amazon, I found that that book was also endorsed by Colin Hansen. And you may not know who Colin Hansen is, but you know who he is. I'll tell you who he is. Colin Hansen is the editor of the Gospel Coalition website. Colin Hansen is editor of the Gospel Coalition website. All you got to do is go to the Gospel Coalition, look it up. Colin Hansen serves as editorial director for the Gospel Coalition. He's author of several books, including Young, Restless, Reformed, A Journalist's Journey with the New Calvinist. So what is another word for the emergent church guys? Young, Restless, Reformed. This guy wrote a book about it. Colin Hansen, editorial director of the Gospel Coalition. He endorsed the book Deep Church by Jim Belcher. Deep Church was a third way beyond emerging and traditional. He endorsed the book. Tim Keller, the founder of the Gospel Coalition, endorsed the book. There are guys over at the Gospel Coalition that have written reviews that praise the book. Why is that important? Because I'm proving to you the Gospel Coalition has no problem with many of the aspects of the emergent church merging with their neo-Calvinism, which is exactly why the book, Jim Belcher's book, Deep Church, was endorsed by the guys and praised by the guys over at the Gospel Coalition. Would you not want to know if your pastor has been deceived by the packaging of an old movement that he once opposed? Think about that for a minute. Would you or your pastor? Would you want your pastor who once opposed the emergent church and mysticism and its heresy and new gospel, fake gospel, false gospel, and all that it embodies, as well as the communitarian church growth movement of Bob Buford and Peter Drucker and Rick Warren and Bill Hybels, they opposed all that. Would you want them to know that, hey, when you promote the Gospel Coalition and its leaders, you're promoting really the repackaging of that which you once opposed, the emergent church and the communitarian church growth movement? Would you not want to know that? Would you not want your pastor to know that? Well, that's what's happened. And one way they did it, as I said, is through that third way or Hegelian dialectic process. But another way they did it, folks, listen now, is by putting a Calvinist, neo-Calvinist wrapping around this. In other words, guys were opposing it. But then as soon as they rebranded it, because, by the way, don't forget, Peter Drucker, that was what his deal was. Bob Buford and Peter Drucker came out of the business world. They are skilled at marketing. They are skilled. They've proven it. Bob Buford took a TV station from his mother, who died in, I think, 1971 from a fire, took the little TV station out of Tyler, Texas, built it into a huge network, and made more money than he ever dreamed he would make. Does the guy know how to market and promote, Bob Buford? Yeah. Who did he consult with? Peter Drucker. These guys know how to package and market. So if you take what people are opposing, the emergent church, the communitarian church growth movement, and you're getting kickback, what do? You change the names. I mean, we learned that in the education reform movement years ago, right? Bill Spady said we probably have 5 years to call it outcome-based education. As soon as the people figure out what that is, we'll have to change the name of the reform. And that's why the education reform movements are constantly changing. Well, the same thing goes on within evangelicalism, because the same change agents in the culture are now in the, quote, church or evangelicalism, and they know the same ideas. You change the name of the reform once the people figure out what it is. So you quit calling it the emergent church. You quit identifying it with people like Rick Warren. Do you see Rick Warren with the Gospel Coalition? Not really. I mean, he may work with some of the people. Yeah, we see them working together. We see pictures of Al Mohler and Rick Warren together. But I don't see Rick Warren's face over at the Gospel Coalition on their council. So you keep the guys that had to kind of become a lightning rod away. You repackage it. You rename it. And by the way, you wrap it with a, quote, Christian veneer that's popular, neo-Calvinism. And voila, guys that once opposed the emergent church and Rick Warren and Bob Buford and Peter Drucker's communitarian church growth movement are now openly swallowing it whole. They buy it. They promote it. They speak with the people that are part of it. And they invite them on their church platforms to train pastors. That's the Gospel Coalition. The Gospel Coalition is nothing more, nothing less than the repackaging of the emergent church and Rick Warren's, Peter Drucker's, Bob Buford's transformational churches, which are not even churches, biblically speaking. But Rick Warren didn't start this. As you'll hear when we come back from the break, some audio clips of the late Peter Drucker. Rick Warren did not start this. He gets a lot of credit for it, or maybe a lot of blame for it, because of his best-selling book, Purpose Driven Life and Purpose Driven Church. Rick Warren didn't start this. Bob Buford started this. I'll prove it when we come back from the break. Bob Buford started the emergent church, according to Brian McLaren to PBS. Bob Buford started the whole church growth movement. And then it all got repackaged by guys like Tim Keller, who were recruited by Bob Buford, according to Christianity Today. And now you see how this whole deception has worked. And I'm not boasting, but nobody else is telling you this, because no one else has spent the hundreds of hours for the last many years delving into who these guys are. And I hinted at it in Religious Trojan Horse, But then I actually had the time this week, writing the new book, Marxianity, to dig in and prove it. And so guys you once trusted are now promoting the emergent church.
I don't know if you've seen the very sobering report that came out July 13th, 2018, by the director of the National Intelligence Agency, Dan Coats. But let me tell you something. I have followed the career of Dan Coats for a long time. And when the director of National Intelligence comes out and warns that America is under devastating cyber attacks right now, and that all the lights are blinking red for a potential 9/11 cyber attack, you better pay attention. In fact, CBS reports, Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats warned of an impending, potentially devastating cyber attack on U.S. systems, saying the country's digital infrastructure, quote, is literally under attack, end quote, and warning that among state actors, Russia is the, quote, worst offender, end quote. Speaking at a scheduled event, writes CBS News, he adopted the language of former director of the CIA, George Tenet, who in the months ahead of the 9/11 attacks, warned that the, quote, system was blinking red, end quote. Dan Coats, citing daily attacks from Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, said, quote, here we are nearly two decades later, and I'm here to say the warning lights are blinking red again, end quote. Well, my friends, we've been warning you about this for a long time. And if you have not taken the precautions that my family took many years ago, then I would suggest you do that. Now, you can go get these resources anywhere you want. But last year, we set up a special website, esdepot.com, esdepot.com, where we've put a lot of emergency gear for you. Reasonable, practical, common sense emergency gear. You'll also find it in our bookstore at wvwtv.com/bookstore. wvwtv.com/bookstore, or a website that we built that has more information on it and more resources you can order, esdepot.com. Stands for Emergency Supplies Depot.com. esdepot.com. You can get all kinds of information there. You can get freeze-dried food that we are a distributor of for Mountain House. It's been around since 1969. Again, you can get this material and these vital resources anywhere. But when you purchase them through us, you're helping support our broadcast organization and ministry. Folks, we don't have time to lead tours to Israel, lead cruises, lead trips. A lot of ministries and organizations do that to generate extra revenue to support their general operating budget. We don't have time for that. But we have built a website, esdepot.com, that we believe has the resources you need. So I believe you're not only helping your family, you're also supporting this broadcast ministry. And we urge you to tell your friends about the website, esdepot.com.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Now I've got a lot of stack of stuff in front of me. I want to get through this. I'm not going to rush, though, because I also do want to play some audio clips for you right now and then open the phone lines up so we can always continue this a little bit tomorrow. But I've got to lay out the evidence. I mean, I've made a claim, have I not? I've made a charge, and the charge is that the Gospel Coalition is really nothing more than the repackaging of the emergent church heresy and the communitarian church growth movement of Peter Drucker and Bob Buford with a wrapping or packaging of the new Calvinist, the neo-Calvinist. And because it has the wrapping of the neo-Calvinist, it's now being promoted. So you see again, well, if they're preaching the doctrines of grace, if they're preaching our favorite theology, if they're preaching John Calvin or their perversion of John Calvin, to be fair to some of my Reformed friends who are just as disgusted by this as I am, if they're preaching the Calvinism we like, then we'll ignore what we used to oppose. Well, we'll take and embrace and promote the guys that are promoting what we used to oppose because they're promoting our favorite brand of Calvinism, the new Calvinism. And let me make it very, very clear. Many of my traditionally Reformed friends are as disgusted by this as I am. By the way, I am being told we are picking up a lot of new listeners from within the Reformed community that are PCA. People from the PCA, Presbyterian Churches of America, who are not happy with how their churches have been transformed with this garbage through things like Reformed Theological Seminary and Lincoln Duncan, one of the guys at the Gospel Coalition. They have been made aware of our radio shows and TV shows, and I'm being told by some key people, you're picking up a lot of new listeners who had never listened before that are tracking with you and are appalled because you're uncovering what's not only in the Southern Baptist Convention, but what's now in the PCA, and they are tracking with you. So I want to make it very clear to my traditionally reformed, traditionally Calvinist friends, I'm not attacking you. We are in agreement. I am going after the new Calvinist, which is why you really need to read the book. It's not a big book. It's a little book by E.S. Williams, who is a traditional Calvinist from Great Britain, and his pastor endorsed the book, The New Calvinist, who is the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle, formerly the Church of Charles Spurgeon. So these are pretty traditional guys in the Calvinist world, and they are also joining and saying these new Calvinists have a false gospel. And in his book, The New Calvinist, E.S. Williams names many of the guys at the Gospel Coalition. So I welcome the conservative reformed people that are in this audience, and I want to make it very clear, I am not talking about you. And I think you know that, but I want to make it real clear. What has happened, as I said, and I'll say it again because it's important to repeat things, because you don't spend the hundreds of hours researching this and putting it in your mind like I do, and I find the best way to understand things is to repeat it, reread it, say it, talk it, tell it, you know, so you need to hear it again. What happened is they took a reform, a movement, the Emergent Church and the Communitarian Church Growth Movement, to destroy churches and turn them into social service centers, to defeat the five global giants of the world, to turn the churches into social justice centers, social gospel centers, like Walter Rauschenbusch, the father of the social gospel movement, a Fabian socialist, wanted. And when that got kicked back by well-known evangelicals, they then just brought in a new team of actors who happened to be the new Calvinist, and they formed in 2005 with Tim Keller the Gospel Coalition, and they wrapped it with neo-Calvinism, and the guys who are so drunk on neo-Calvinism didn't even bother to unwrap this new movement and see what's underneath. It's a Trojan horse, and some of the biggest names in evangelicalism have fallen for it. They've fallen for it and are promoting the Gospel Coalition and speaking with these guys and bringing them on their church platform. But they were the same guys opposing the Emergent Church and opposing the social justice, social gospel transformation of churches through the Communitarian Church Growth Movement years ago. But now they're promoting it because they can't see past the wrapping of the bright package of neo-Calvinism. Now here is here is the late Peter Drucker talking about Bob Buford, and then I will share with you documentation that Bob Buford, this businessman out of Tyler, Texas, who went on to expand his family's TV network and become very wealthy and wrote a very popular book called Halftime, What You're Going to Do at the Halftime of Your Life, is the one who came to Peter Drucker. And they started the Leadership Network. And Brian McLaren admits that the Leadership Network was birthed out of, or the Emergent Church was birthed out of the Leadership Network, started in 1984. This all began long before Rick Warren. All right, here is the late Peter Drucker. Now, I've got to warn you, it's an old video and an old audio. And Peter Drucker likes to take his time talking, so there's a lot of dead air with Peter Drucker. So just be patient with this guy. Here we go.
I have an old friend whose name is Paul Buford, who first came to me.
Mm-hmm. His hard drive's working. Hang on.
To consult about his business. He built one of the successful TV chains, station chains. And Bob came to me, 20 odd years ago, about his business. And in the course of talking to each other, we discovered that we had a common interest in the mega churches. And he had the idea of starting an organization to help the mega churches learn how to manage themselves. Traditionally, those phenomena.
Okay, come on, Drucker. Let's go. Come on.
Well,
thank you.
An old American tradition of the charismatic pastor who built the church, and then it collapses because he can't manage it, and it certainly collapses when he goes. And Bob Buford had the idea, not mine, called Leadership Network.
All right. So Leadership Network is born when Bob Buford goes to Peter Drucker, one of the fathers of total quality management. And there's a lot we can say about Peter Drucker, and I hope to get to it because of his worldview and philosophy influencing Bob Buford. Now, again, let's not forget the Leadership Network started in 1984. One reason we know this is because my research documents this. Over at the website of these guys, the Buford Network and the Peter Drucker Network, the Peter Drucker Foundation, started by Bob Buford, we read, before Bob Buford and Fred Smith Jr. co-founded Leadership Network in 1984, when? 1984. Buford consulted Drucker for advice. So how did the Leadership Network get started? Bob Buford consulted Peter Drucker. Now, you're going to learn about the worldview of Peter Drucker in a minute. Or tomorrow. We'll just see how much we get through this stack of stuff I got sitting here. But the Leadership Network started in 1984 when Bob Buford consulted Peter Drucker for advice. The website says, Buford has observed, quote, Peter Drucker is the intellectual father of most all that guides my approach to philanthropy. I've long since ceased trying to determine what thoughts are mine and which come from Peter, end quote. He went on to say, quote, he's the brains, I'm the legs. Now, why is that important? Because Peter Drucker, first of all, is not a Christian, okay? Peter Drucker admitted he's not a Christian. Peter Drucker also admitted that some of the best stuff he ever wrote was by Soren Kierkegaard. Does that name mean anything to you guys? Well, those of you that watched our worldview class on Sunday night, it means something to you because we spent a lot of time on Sunday night in our worldview class talking about Soren Kierkegaard, one of the 21 radicals ruling America from the grave that I write about in the book Grave Influence. And Soren Kierkegaard believed you could be a Christian and not believe in absolute truth. Soren Kierkegaard believed in applying existentialism to the spiritual world. Don't turn off the radio. Don't let your eyes roll back in your head. Big word, existentialism. Let's define it. It's really quite simple. Subjective truth. Moral relativism. Situational ethics. That's another word for existentialism. So Soren Kierkegaard, greatly influenced by his own admission, Peter Drucker. I think Peter Drucker actually taught himself to read Danish so he could read the writings of Soren Kierkegaard. Again, Soren Kierkegaard, one of the 21 radicals ruling America from the grave in my book Grave Influence, and we talked about in our worldview class on Sunday night. By the way, Soren Kierkegaard also greatly, wait for it, Soren Kierkegaard also greatly influenced a guy by the name of Martin Heidegger. Martin Heidegger was the first rector of a Nazi university. We showed you on Sunday night in the worldview class the picture of Martin Heidegger wearing a Nazi uniform. Why is that important? Because Martin Heidegger, the Nazi rector and friend of Hitler, studied Soren Kierkegaard, and even Heideggerians, people who love Martin Heidegger, will admit he was greatly influenced by Soren Kierkegaard. And why is that important? Because Soren Kierkegaard's subjective truth, moral relativism, applied to the spiritual realm, said, listen now, you can set aside absolute truth to have community. If you want to survive, Germany, we've gotten ourselves beat up in World War I. We're paying reparations. If you want to survive as a nation, we have to have collective salvation. We can do this together. We together can come together in consensus, in group consensus, in community, and we can solve our problems and have salvation as a people and a nation together. But to do that, we must set aside absolute truth. And so studying Soren Kierkegaard, subjective truth is existentialism, Martin Heidegger, a Nazi, taught this to the German people, and they set aside absolute truth. And listen now, because of guys like Julius Wellhausen and Soren Kierkegaard and their neo-orthodoxy back in the 1800s and the early 1900s, that led to a weakening of the church in Germany to say the Word of God is not the authoritative Word of God. Human reason is above the Bible, as Julius Wellhausen taught. And then along comes Soren Kierkegaard teaching subjective truth. So the church in Germany, the German Christians, denied absolute truth, set aside the authority of God's word, and they were ripe for the picking by Adolf Hitler. And that's why they dissolved their church denominations and united under the Reich Bishop of Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler picked the Reich Bishop, and they all dissolved their denominations and united. Now, what does that have to do with the emergent church? Bob Buford started the emergent church, according to Brian McLaren, and he started the Leadership Network, which gave launch to this, after consulting Peter Drucker, who was greatly influenced by his own admission by Soren Kierkegaard. And now you have mainstream evangelical leaders promoting the Gospel Coalition, who at its root, Tim Keller, and the influence of Bob Buford and others, is, I believe, a massive Trojan horse, and yet no one else that I know of is telling you that the Gospel Coalition is nothing more, nothing less than the emergent church, Peter Drucker and Bob Buford's false church model with a neo-Calvinist wrapping on it that has now appealed to Bible teachers and ministries and elders and pastors and church organizations. Are you keeping up? Because this is vitally important. What do? Here, we study trends. We study worldviews. What do? We try to figure out the philosophies of the day. Jesus said, you can discern the weather, you Pharisees, but you don't understand the times. And we try to warn you of the trends, and particularly the coming dominant false church that will be used to persecute real Christians. And do you think, by the way, this is making people happy that I'm explaining this to you? No, it's not. No, it's not. But they should wait till Marxianity comes out. That'll make a lot of them really unhappy. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. I was taking a dietary supplement for over 12 years, but I believed I could actually develop a better dietary supplement. And so I contacted a couple years ago an FDA-approved facility, and we created together Extractgevity. It is a compilation of such extracts as red wine extract, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, bilberry extract, and more. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go look up on your own what the medical websites and other doctors and researchers have said about the benefits of red wine extract, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, bilberry extract, and the other ingredients that make up Extractgevity. Now, why did I work with this FDA-approved facility to create Extractgevity? Because the supplement I was taking, frankly, was way too expensive. And I felt like I could develop, with their help, a better dietary supplement at a cheaper price. And I think we've done just that. If you want more details, it's extractgevity.com. Extractgevity.com. Studies show that supplement ingredients may have anti-aging effects, protect cells from free radical damage, help prevent Alzheimer's disease, prevent growth of cancer cells, benefit your heart, your skin, your brain, eye, and circulatory health. I take it every morning, and sometimes in the afternoon, if I'm feeling tired and sluggish, I'll have another drink of Extractgevity. In fact, our most recent supply of Extractgevity is our best yet. It wasn't quite dissolving the way I wanted it to in the water, so I asked them to put it through a more intense blender to grind it up more. And the end result is, as soon as the powder hits the water and you stir it, you don't have any clumps. If you'd like to try it for 30 days, you can do that by simply ordering it at extractgevity.com. You can also sign up and receive it automatically every month so you don't miss an order. We're not promising you what kind of results you will get. I personally had digestive issues for years, but after taking a supplement that included red wine extract, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, my digestive issues went away. My wife has also taken it with me for years and experienced her own benefits. So why don't you try Extractgevity and see what it does for you? Extractgevity.com is the website. Now, this product has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. I like to take something like Extractgevity that has a lot of antioxidants in it because I'm very concerned about all the cancer-causing chemicals in our food. In fact, recently I read an article from the New York Daily News dated April 30th, 2018. The headline, "Cancer-causing weed killer found in popular foods, FDA internal email reveals." And so what am I doing to counter this? I take something that has a lot of antioxidants in it that counters those free radicals. So why don't you visit the website, extractgevity.com, and take a look at what I developed along with an FDA-approved facility. Now again, the benefits are, I believe, going to be self-evident to you, but your experience is yours. We're not making any claims. Who knows? Maybe Extractgevity is a great way to support your health and also support our ongoing broadcast. Extractgevity.com.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. My wife said to me last night, you need to take a breather. You're going to fall over dead. You need to take a little rest every now and then with all this you're doing and what's going on, or you're going to fall over dead. And but there is no time. We must work while it is day. Although I did go out and buy myself something the other day, and one of my kids said, Dad, you are officially an old man. What did I do? I bought a hummingbird feeder. Yeah. And I know I kind of felt like an older guy doing that, buying that and putting the little red Kool-Aid in it and putting it out there. But I must say, every now and then I go to the window and I watch, and there are hummingbirds drinking that sweet nectar. And that's kind of relaxing. So I take about 30 seconds and do that, and then I get right back to it. But I'm only 49, so I'm not old. If I say I'm old, then I get emails by older people saying, quit saying you're old, because if you're old, how old are we? So I'm not old. I'm young. I'm 49, and I'm young, and you in your 70s are also young. We're all young. Nobody's old here. I've been chastised not to say that anymore by some of you. But my daughter thinks it's kind of funny that I'm watching hummingbirds drink the sweet nectar. But that's what I do to relax every now and then. They sure are amazing, aren't they? A hummingbird? Absolutely amazing. All right, that has nothing to do with what we're discussing. I don't even know why I told you that. So I want to play another audio clip of Peter Drucker. It's really video. And by the way, all of these videos that I'm playing for you are inside our Worldviewpedia at worldviewpedia.com. Worldviewpedia.com. You put in Peter Drucker, you'll see the videos and hear the audio. And so obviously for radio, it's audio. Now, again, I want to play another clip for you, because Peter Drucker talks about the need to use the church growth movement for community. What did I just tell you before the break? That Peter Drucker greatly loved Soren Kierkegaard. I think he taught himself to read Danish so he could read Kierkegaard. Kierkegaard, one of the 21 radicals ruling America from the grave that I cover in my book, Grave Influence, that I covered Sunday night in our worldview class. By the way, lesson 3 went into the Situation Room. So lesson 1, 2, and 3 of Grave Influence are now in the Situation Room under the TV tab, lesson 1, 2, and 3. Sunday night's class, lesson 4, will be put up there tonight. And eventually we'll have 15 or 20 one-hour programs that you can go back and watch and understand all of this history and context. Because, again, that's what we do here. We study trends. We study worldviews. We study philosophies and ideas. And then we lift up a shout, as Paul tells us in Acts 20, to watch and to warn. To watch and to warn. And that's what we're doing. And I'm warning you that the great threat is not coming from the left only. In fact, the greater threat is coming from within, which is what Paul warned about in Acts 20 and what the writer of Jude warned about in that book. And so the threat is this concept of community by group consensus and setting aside theology and doctrine, which is what Soren Kierkegaard taught, which is what Peter Drucker studied, who then influenced Bob Buford, this wealthy businessman who started Leadership Network in 1984 after consulting Drucker, and gave birth to the Leadership Network that gave birth to the Emergent Church, according to Brian McLaren, which gave birth to the church growth movement that then Bill Hybels and Rick Warren picked up on. But it was not started by those guys, folks. So it's important to understand what is at the worldview root of this, and it was Peter Drucker. Because, again, Bob Buford said he did not know where his mind ended and that of Drucker began, that Drucker was the brains and I'm the legs. So listen to Peter Drucker again. He's dead now, but remember, he influenced Bob Buford. Bob Buford, according to Ed Stetzer at Christianity Today, influenced men like Tim Keller. Tim Keller starts the Gospel Coalition, which I contend is nothing more than the Emergent Church and the Communitarian Church Growth Movement wrapped in a neo-Calvinist system that's caused many to swallow it whole like a poisonous pill. Here is Peter Drucker with all of his pauses.
No. My interest in the megachurches was like the social phenomenon, as the I talked about it yesterday, my old and abiding interest in community. I saw them creating community for these young educated, successful professionals who in 9 cases out of 10 were rootless and came out of the small town or the farm or the working class, well, and now in the big city and very successful in their work and had no community and no, and also
so I don't know, the volume on that was moving around, but they had no community. So his whole interest in this with Buford was to create community around these churches. What did Martin Heidegger do, who studied Soren Kierkegaard as well, the first Nazi, the first rector of a Nazi university, Martin Heidegger, who we have a picture of wearing the Nazi uniform. He taught them the idea of group consensus, community, set aside absolute truth, have community, collective salvation together. What is Drucker trying to create? Community. Who did he influence? Bob Buford. Now, this guy is influencing Bob Buford, who starts the Leadership Network, but yet, and he says that he doesn't know where his mind ends and Buford begins, or where Buford's ends and his begins. He says that Buford is the brains and he's the legs, and yet, folks, Peter Drucker admits, if I said Buford, excuse me, Drucker, Peter, Bob Buford says that he does not know where his mind ends and Peter Drucker's begins. He says, Bob Buford, that Drucker is the brains and he's the legs. And yet here is Peter Drucker admitting he is not a Christian.
I'm not the born-again Christian, no. I've been going to church and I've been tithing all my life, but I do not claim to be. And the best thing I wrote was an essay on a great religious thinker. I said, if you read one thing of mine, read my essay on Kierkegaard.
He says, if you couldn't hear that very well, I'm not a born-again Christian. I've been tithing my whole life. If you read the one thing that I've written, read the essay I wrote on Soren Kierkegaard. Okay, so you're getting an idea of this. Now, he does go on to mention Heibel's and what was the whole philosophy behind this. Listen to this.
Typically, it's the story of Will Heibel's in Willow Creek, how he got into it, who's no degree in theology or divinity, but wanted to be a pastor, and he and his wife in that Chicago excerpt just went from door to door and said, do you know the story?
Well, I taped it at one of the Drucker Foundation.
Well, then you know that story, how he knocked at every door and said, do you attend the church? And if that person said yes, Heibel said thank you and went to the next one. And if the person said no, Heibel said, why don't you? And learned that this is market research. What do people expect? And then he built a church to satisfy these expectations. And that is, and he claims that he learns it out of my books.
So Peter Drucker says, Bill Heibel's been around taking a survey. What do you want in a church? Well, what do you think the unbeliever wants in a church? And what ended up happening, I'll unplug that audio now, that humming stops in the background. Drucker says he learned all this out of my books. Now, if we're going to further prove that the emergent church began really out of Bob Buford's leadership network, started in 84 at the after the advice of Peter Drucker, according to their own website, what else do we have to prove this? Well, have you ever heard of the book called Emerging Church? Emerging Church, written back in 2003. At least that's when the paperback came out. It was written by a guy named Dan Kimball, and we talked about Dan Kimball a lot back in the day when we were talking about the Emergent Church so much. But see, the Emergent Church doesn't, it's not called that anymore. It's called things like the Gospel Coalition now, by the way. But guess the Emerging Church, subtitled Vintage Christianity for New Generations. You know who endorsed the book? Bob Buford. Go look to Amazon. You know who endorsed the book? Tony Jones of the Emergent Church and Bob Buford. Bob Buford. Now, here's something else I stumbled on in my research today. Never heard of this before. Have you ever heard of the Missional Manifesto? The Missional Manifesto? Well, in 2010 to 2011, it says, a group of church leaders led by Ed Stetzer and Alan Hirsch collaborated on a statement to define what they meant when using the term missional. The result was the Missional Manifesto, reproduced here in full. Now, would you like to know who wrote this Missional Manifesto? Among them, Ed Stetzer, Alan Hirsch, Tim Keller, co-founder of the Gospel Coalition, Dan Kimball. You guys remember Dan Kimball? Dan Kimball's an emergent church guy. We just talked about him. He wrote the book Emerging Church. J.D. Greer. Does that name ring a bell to any of you? J.D. Greer? J.D. Greer claims to be a disciple of Tim Keller. J.D. Greer is with the Gospel Coalition. J.D. Greer is now the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. So again, the emergent church. And again, don't forget that yesterday at Christianity Today, we read this. Buford did not just convene meetings. He funded the impact he desired. He did so selectively, however, only choosing investments that would create exponential returns. For example, he and Colorado billionaire Phil Anschutz, A-N-C-H-U-T-Z, if some of you want to look that up, financed the Burning Bush Fund. They took their catalyzing passion and combined it with strategic investment. Leaders like Mark Driscoll, Tim Keller, founder of the Gospel Coalition, Larry Osborne, Greg Surratt, Neil Cole, and others involved their churches and ministries. End quote. What year was the Gospel Coalition founded? 2005. Who's it include? Guys like Danny Aiken, Alistair Begg, Brian Chappell, Mark Dever, Kevin DeYoung, Lincoln Duncan, Kent Hughes, Al Mohler, Russell Moore, David Platt, John Piper, Matt Chandler worked closely with them. And by the way, again, it's supposed to be the 18th most visited Christian website in America. So you might want to be concerned about that if your pastor goes there and it's nothing more than the remaking of the emergent church and the communitarian church growth model of Peter Drucker, led by Bob Buford after being influenced by Drucker. Oh, I've got more, but this is all I have time to get to because I want to hear from you. Do you think this is important? Is this helpful to you to help you understand how indeed the thesis and antithesis, the Hegelian dialectic process, it does work? It does create conflict. It does cause people to say, oh, let's just all get along and have community. And people compromise the Soren Kierkegaard philosophy, subjective truth, to build community. And they do. And you end up with a third option or a new thesis. Things like the Gospel Coalition. Is it helpful to understand that that which people once opposed, the emergent church and the communitarian church growth model with its unbiblical idea of church government, mission and purpose, has now been wrapped with this neo-Calvinism, thus causing many people to promote it and work with the people from the Gospel Coalition, even though this is all really at its root emergent church growth models? In other words, if you want me to just put it as simple as I can in one sentence, I believe the Gospel Coalition is the emergent church hiding under neo-Calvinism. Can I say that again? The Gospel Coalition is nothing more than the emergent church hiding under neo-Calvinism, which really fits with the emergent church, does it not? 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. I'd like to hear your feedback. 1-800-347-9829.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank all of you that have supported our Worldview Weekend broadcast ministry throughout 2018 thus far. Now, we're getting ready to go into the summer months, and generally that's a time of the year when our donations drop. And so I want to just ask you, would you consider being, if you're not already, a monthly contributor to the Worldview Weekend? We sure appreciate those of you that give a couple times a year or even at the end of the year as your budget allows. But we're needing more monthly donors, monthly supporters, so we can meet our monthly obligations each and every year as we continue to expand our Worldview Weekend broadcast network ministry. You can donate online at wvwfoundation.com. We are a tax-deductible 501c3 organization, so it is tax-deductible. Again, you can give online at wvwfoundation.com. If you prefer to send a check, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38026. 1627. Again, that's P.O. Box 1690. Collierville, which is spelled C-O-L-L-I-E-R-V-I-L-L-E, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. If you prefer to give by phone, you can leave it on our voicemail at 901-853-8792. That's 901-853-8792. All of this information is available on our website at wvwfoundation.com. Thank you so much for your ongoing and faithful support as together we partner and proclaim and defend a biblical worldview.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. 1-800-347-9829. I'm going to roll through as many of calls as I can because I want your feedback on what it is I'm telling you. And again, I'm not saying this to boast. I'm just telling you this is what I have come to the conclusion of. It is my conclusion and thesis based on my own research. I don't know anyone else is saying this. I called Tom Littleton to say, Tom, you've done years of research on this. Is anyone else saying this that you know of? And he said, no, but this needs to get out there. And that is this. The Gospel Coalition and groups like that, but particularly the Gospel Coalition, is nothing less than the emergent church repackaged with a wrapping of neo-Calvinism. And why on earth would anyone embrace that? But it's not just the emergent church. It's also the false church model of Bob Buford and Peter Drucker. 1-800-347-9829. Let's start out with line one. Daniel, thank you for calling in. Daniel, go right ahead.
Yes, Brandon, I just want to reiterate, thank you very much for this training that you're giving to us here with Worldview Weekend. And I used to think that I didn't need this kind of stuff because I just kind of stayed away from all that stuff. But now I have a friend that is kind of tied up with this stuff and defends James White and this kind of stuff. So I'm seeing the need for it in my personal life, too. And as you were speaking earlier about the falling away of the Christians in the churches in Germany, it almost looks like that possibly it could be said that the Lord used the United States to bring judgment on them in Germany. And so my question is, as you did your beginning monologue and you gave quite a nice summary of the birth of the emerging church, I wonder, do you have information in the Situation Room in like summary outline type form at all that we can use to teach these things and share them with our friends in churches?
Well, great question. Thank you, Daniel. Well, the description from yesterday's radio show right now would be the most concise thing. And then to have them listen to the radio show from yesterday and then listen to the radio show from today. Now, we will have all of this transcribed. This program today will be transcribed. And I will release it as an article as soon as our transcription service in Los Angeles gets it back to me. So to answer your question, Daniel, yes, we will have this resource for you in writing. Some people prefer writing. Some people prefer to listen. Yesterday's broadcast with today's should go a long way. And it is open to the public for 7 days, and it does roll into the Situation Room. But if you want to download it to your computer now, you can do that. You can do that and save it, okay? You can send out the URL to your friends and tell them to listen or download it to their computer and listen when they have time. So there's that free information, again, that we offer. Daniel, I'm glad to hear you say that you used to think this wasn't important, but now it is. And I'll tell you one reason why it's important. Look at the fact that we have major Bible teachers and evangelicals and Bible ministries and organizations and broadcast networks promoting the men and guys and even what has happened recently, sadly, to groups like Back to the Bible and groups that you would think that would never happen. Well, how does this happen? And one reason it happens, Daniel, is because things change on them. And so in one regard, I try to have grace with people. I'm not perfect, okay? I'm not perfect. I need to grow, and I need to continue in the sanctification process. I'm not perfect. I'm not sitting here saying, do as I say, because no, you don't want to do as I say. You want to do as the Word of God says. I'm just sharing my research with you as a talk show host and a researcher and an author. So I want to try to be gracious with people because I'm not perfect. And I can be deceived. And I have been deceived by people. in the past. And so I try to be gracious. And one of the things we're showing here is how easy it's to be deceived when a psychological process is used to merge opposites and produce something new and put a veneer or wrapping around it that appeals to people, particularly younger people. And that's why it's important. So A, we're not deceived. We look deep as to what is the philosophies and ideas at the foundation. So we're not cheated by the philosophies of men that are not according to Christ. But also, Daniel, when this false dominant church gains steam and starts persecuting us, a lot of you are going to be asking, how did this happen? Where did it begin? Who is responsible? Who are these people? What are their philosophies? What are their ideas? And when it goes all the way back to Germany and Soren Kierkegaard and Julius Wellhausen and a false dominant church is recreated by Satan once again to persecute Christians and Jews, you'll know why. And you'll make a lot of understanding. Because you know what? It's not good to be persecuted or nor fun, but it certainly helps when you realize that you're being persecuted because you're standing for biblical truth. That makes it a lot easier. And that's what you're going to find out. Because otherwise you're going to say, well, maybe I am wrong. Maybe they are right. Maybe it's just me. And then when you find out what the ethos or genesis or worldview at this root of this false church is, you'll realize, now I know why they persecute me. Let's go to Brad, line two. Brad, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, Brandon, two things. First, yes, what you're doing is very valuable. The repetition is good for everybody. And besides, you get new listeners all the time, so they have to hear this stuff. So, yeah, keep doing it. The other thing is about the Soren Kierkegaard thing, no absolute truth. Well, that's just silly. If the statement, no absolute truth, is true, then it includes the statement that there's no absolute truth.
That's right.
It destroys itself. All we have to do is stand there and watch it.
Exactly.
So, again, just like the Quran, if it's true, it's false. Therefore, it's false.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. Wow, that's quite the hum on the line there. Let's go to Deborah, line four from Arkansas. Deborah, thank you for calling in. Go ahead, Deborah.
Hey, Brandon. I just
Hi, Deborah.
Want to know that I have been listening to you for years, and so thank you for this. It's a refresher for me, and it keeps me out of a ditch, because this is really subtle. This is really subtle. So I went to the Gospel Coalition website, and oh, my goodness, who do I see on there but Erwin Lutzer? What has happened?
Well, and I don't want to sound like I'm playing the good old boy club here, but Lutzer is now considered emeritus, if you look on there. And I think he is watching a lot of what is happening, and he and I have had some great conversations. And I know he's very concerned about interfaith dialogue, and I think he has a book coming out this fall on the dangers of interfaith dialogue. And so you might want to send him a little email or a little note, because he is a sound preacher in so many ways.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, get your face off the Gospel Coalition website, because I know he does not agree with some of the things that are going on over there. But I do notice it says emeritus. They've left his picture up there, but I don't ever see him really doing anything with them. So if he's not involved, he needs to get off of there, and that's what I would encourage him to do. And I think you should encourage him to do the same thing.
Okay, I sure will.
Because I really like Erwin. And like I said, he's got a lot of things right. He really has come out strong against the interfaith dialogue, which a lot of these guys over at the Gospel Coalition are not opposing. So again, we don't want to see them taking good guys and hijacking them for their credibility, right? And that's what's got to happen. So I'm glad you brought that up, Deborah, and I could respond accordingly. All right, tomorrow we'll give you some new information and new audio clips as we understand this psychological process of deception taking place. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
The Ozarks 2018 Worldview Weekend keynote presentations are now being added to the Situation Room. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we had a great Ozarks Worldview Weekend 2018, and we filmed 16 presentations that included two 90-minute panel discussions with the speakers. We have now post-edited some of those keynote presentations, and they're now waiting for you to watch inside the Situation Room as a member under the Library tab, and then look for DVDs. Now, we've already got some post-edited. They've been added to the Situation Room, and throughout the month of June, we will finish post-editing the balance. By the way, we filmed these keynote presentations with four cameras. One of them was a swinging boom camera. So what I'm telling you is, these are broadcast quality. like national network broadcast quality in HD. But not only do you get all of the Worldview Weekend presentations from our Ozarks Conference from 2018, you get all the Worldview Weekend presentations from years gone by, going all the way back to 2004. You get $145,000 access to $145,000 in ebooks, audiobooks, transcripts, Bible software, TV shows, radio shows, and conference DVDs. SituationRoom.net. You can join for just $9.99 a month, $99 a year, $149 for 2 years, or save $100 and join for 3 years for just $199. Again, SituationRoom.net. This is where members understand the times through a biblical worldview. And again, when you're a member of the Situation Room, you're also a member of WorldviewPedia.com, our powerful biblical online worldview software that we're adding to each and every month. You can check it out, even test drive it right now, WorldviewPedia.com. So why not join the Situation Room if you're not a member right now and support the continuation of this biblical radio and television ministry? WVW Broadcast Network is a listener-supported ministry. We rely on you either contributing to the Worldview Weekend Foundation with a tax-deductible contribution and/or being a member of the Situation Room at SituationRoom.net. Black Lives Matter has had $100 million contributed to them. Many liberal groups have all kinds of liberal, multi-million-dollar foundations underwriting them. We just have you, those that contribute to our Worldview Weekend Foundation, and those of you that are members of the Situation Room. We are a listener-supported broadcast ministry. And if you're not a member of the Situation Room, would you please join right now? SituationRoom.net. And just go to the bottom of the page and click the join button. SituationRoom.net, where members understand the times through a biblical worldview.